श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवाद पश्चात्य दिश तारिणे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवाद पश्चात्य दिश जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Jaya Gaura Nithaya Gaura Nithaya Gaura Nithaya Jaya Gaura Nithaya Gaura Nithaya Gaura Nithaya Gaura Nithaya Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radhe Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radha Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Gaurapimananda, Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtana ki, Jai Sri Lata Rupare ki.
My screen is definitely much better than your screen. Don't take it personally. My God. Maybe if I put my glasses on. Bit better, but Hare Krishna to everyone. Thank you very much for taking interest in the topic of Vedic sociology. We have four sessions scheduled, as you may know, two today and two tomorrow. I have a bit of a challenge because I have five presentations that I need to squeeze into four slots. So anyways, we'll see how this goes. This morning's session basically will deal with an introduction and an overview on the topic of sociology in itself. And we will, let me see if this works here. It does. Okay. This presentation is actually an outcome of two things. One, it is connected with a ministry that we have here in India called the ISKCON Daiva Varnasram Ministry, with a focus on rural development. And anyone who has studied sociology will know that villages or rural development is one specialized area of interest to sociologists. And secondly, it is connected with an undertaking that I have been involved with for the last going on 2 years now, connected with a research with the Osmania University, with the Department of Sociology that I'm personally involved with. The topic is naturally, as we will see, quite broad, and we cannot do justice to the topic by covering so much into detail. So in many ways it will be like an overview, and if anyone is interested to know more, you could correspond with our ministry, and we'll be happy to provide you with more information. Our whole Vedic culture, as Prabhupada would often remind us, is intimately connected with this ideology of simple living and high thinking, where repeatedly Srila Prabhupada would remind us that in the Vedic culture it's very important to produce our own food and to look after cows. In other words, to be closely and intimately connected with the land. On many, many occasions this comes out. This is only just one reference. This is a, we could say, presentation of what ideally Vedic culture looks like in a more natural setting. Vedic culture is primarily an agrarian culture, and it's a major point of importance that in modern day society we have forgotten and also not understood. It's a recurring theme that will come up throughout the presentation. So today's presentation this morning will cover the following points, a bit of background on the whole topic of sociology, and then what our acharyas mention, what they speak, and then naturally what is the actual Vedic perspective or Vedic view of sociology. My research, I'm doing research with Osmania University, and the title of my research is Vaishnav Vedic Sociology, and its practical application in the 21st century. And the fourth is something very major, of course, referred to as Char Vidya, four basic standard sciences that actually make up, we could say, all studies, and that also make up the whole Vedic society in its different divisions. In background, we will look at the following areas, defining and understanding what is Veda, what is sociology, and what is Vedic sociology. Then understanding a little bit what is the Lord Krishna's mission, Lord Chaitanya's mission, what is ISKCON's mission, and something very important, less known or understood, is within ISKCON's mission, there are four specific divisions or movements which are directly related with the whole concept of Vedic culture or Vedic society. And just a short brief mention about the mandate that this ministry has It's been established going on 10 years now. And just a brief reference to an important dimension of the ministry in terms of the Om Sri Sri campaign. And from there's a, what we call a Prabhupada folio, which gives a simple definition of what is Veda, the system of eternal wisdom compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. This is what we receive, this is what, as devotees, we study on a daily basis. We are meant to study on a daily basis. So eternal wisdom is something important in terms of knowledge which has always existed, and therefore knowledge that is also coming from God or Krishna, and therefore knowledge that is perfect. Which means that if we actually understand what that the nature of this knowledge, we will know that whatever systems are given within Vedic knowledge, within the Vedic scriptures, are systems that are meant to be followed at all times, at least the basic principles. They may be adjusted here and there. It means that actually this Vedic understanding is something that should not be changed. We'll come back on these points. And what is sociology? According to the Merriam-Webster, it's the science of society or social institution, whereby one studies both the individual and the individual within a larger context, means within society. These are simple things, actually. The scientific analysis of social institution. So ISKCON is a society, but ISKCON is a society within a larger society, isn't it? We are a religious, primarily religious, cultural, educational society, but we function within a larger society where, especially in our modern context, the values and the principles upon which our activities are based don't, most of the time actually, are not in sync with the greater society, and therefore naturally, that presents a challenge, that's a problem. and of course, there are different definitions, but basically it's centered on understanding how ideally a society, and if we look at the history of mankind, so many different ideologies have been introduced, and most of them because they were and continue also to be disconnected with some of the basic principles and concepts that we will analyze in this presentation, therefore are not sustainable or do not produce the desired result. We should look a little, very important to understand about Western sociology, because the very word sociology was coined, according to various scholars, quite recently. it's very important for us to understand how this, we could say, organized study of sociology came about and on what principles it was introduced. We have to go back a few hundred years ago in the context of what is called, anyone who has studied history a little bit, the French Revolution. What was the main feature of the French Revolution, why it came about? It was primarily a rejection of these two things, of religion and of royalty. Because at that time, some 300 years back, both were very highly corrupt, and therefore there was a revolt. And the result of this was one personality who is known as the person who introduced or coined the word sociology. Auguste Comte from France, he introduced what is called the philosophy of positivism, which means that we, now that we have rejected authority in the form of royalty or kings, or yeah, especially royalty actually, and also now that we have rejected religion, which was very oppressive on society, on the people in general, now our modern or present understanding, and this is what has been, this is what has carried us to this day, actually, in all the countries pretty well around the world, we can only accept things that we can see with our eyes. In other words, whatever we can see with our senses, whatever we can understand with logic, that is reality. Everything else is not acceptable. This is the mentality, even to this day, which is basically, you know, atheistic in nature. So this was a statement made that bring this here. Our exclusive source of all certain knowledge is what our mind and our senses can. Then it's important to also look at, you know, there was a reaction to this here in India, and we can look briefly at, you know, Indian sociology. And they rejected actually certain aspects of the Western sociology, and they wanted to retain or stress the importance of Vedic culture, at least certain aspects of the Vedic culture. And they wanted to retain, you know, some of the traditions that were there. Now, if we look, you know, after getting a brief glimpse of Western sociology, Indian sociology, what is Vedic sociology? Vedic sociology is found primarily in this verse that is there in the Bhagavad Gita, which everyone knows about, the four natural divisions of society. This is not only in the Bhagavad Gita, in all the Vedic literatures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada writes in a purport that human society is similar to any other animal society, but to elevate men from the animal status, the above mentioned divisions are created by the Lord for the systematic development of Krishna consciousness. Why is Vedic sociology needed, especially in our modern day society? And these are different quotes from Srila Prabhupada, basically to bring back sanity in society, because we've lost it, isn't it? Anyone with a little sense of observation can understand how the whole world is in turmoil, disorganized. We have Rana Sankara everywhere because we have deviated, basically, isn't it? Keep in mind what happened 300 years ago in terms of the French Revolution. When we speak of royalty, we should understand Kshatriya. When we speak of religion, we should understand brahmanas. So when we reject the brahminical culture or brahmanas, when we reject the kshatriyas, here we are, 2019, 21st century, total chaos practically. Vedic culture is based on some, we just read about Veda. Veda means eternal wisdom. So this eternal wisdom is found in different formulas or codes or systems. And this is something very interesting and important as well. We simply need to learn some of these basic formulas and systems, and if we do that, then everything else can actually fall into place. And just like we have, you know, Srila Vyasadeva ended the whole presentation of the Vedic knowledge in what is called the Vedanta Sutras, isn't it? So naturally, this knowledge comes down to us through authorized and very learned personalities, whom we call as acharyas. And also, one important point is that these cover not only the spiritual dimension of life, but also the material. There's Vedic knowledge is in this way very complete and compatible in that it thoroughly covers these two dimensions. Just to give a few examples of codes or sutras, we're familiar, I mean, there's so many of them. I won't read them, but these are just a few references. Just like Srila Prabhupada, whenever he lectures, or anyone who's an authority in the Vedic knowledge, they will refer to this verse or that verse, and just within one verse, one can give a whole detailed explanation, isn't it? So just to summarize here, the difference between Western, Indian, and Vedic sociology. Yeah, these are the other examples. Western sociology is primarily atheistic, as we pointed out a few minutes ago. It's centered on what is called humanism, and it's therefore speculative because it's on the mental platform. Indian sociology is somewhat nationalistic, and it's mixing philosophy and religion. It's not so clear. Whereas our Vaishnav Vedic sociology is primarily holistic in that it is based on authoritative knowledge, and it makes or keeps this very important blend or mixture of the spiritual dimension and the material dimension, which are referred to actually in the Shastra as Swadharma, material Swadharma and spiritual Swadharma. We will see actually when we speak on the topic of education, which is one of the four sciences, what is the actual definition of knowledge. Modern day understanding of knowledge is simply what we see, again, the materialistic outlook. Whereas in the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita explains knowledge to be both understanding matter and spirit, isn't it? The difference between matter and spirit, the origin and the relationship between them. Looking at what is Krishna's mission, well, these are again references that we are familiar with. to basically re-establish the principles of dharma or the principles of religion. And we also quoted this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. So these are standard, unchanging information. And this is a very crucial element. Just like Prabhupada many years ago mentioned that all you have to do to actually be successful in your personal life and in your family life and within community is to read and study these literatures that have standard knowledge. Lord Chaitanya's mission, of course, is to perform the highest welfare work by actually giving or spreading this knowledge in every town and village based on the chanting of the holy name. This is also standard for devotees, standard knowledge that is well known, and bringing us to Koro Krishna Shikha means Lord Chaitanya is introducing the Sankirtan movement, but wants us to follow basically Krishna's instructions that are given in the Vedic literatures. We also need to know, you know, we start from the Vedic knowledge and then we come down Lord Chaitanya's mission, then ISKCON's mission. ISKCON is an extension of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And without going into the details, we know that Prabhupada established these seven principles, whereby he refers in these seven principles to society, to humanity. In other words, Srila Prabhupada in the sixth mention also about what we first pointed out, this natural, simple living and high thinking, which is again connected with the agrarian culture, agrarian aspect of Vedic life. Now we come to something I mentioned a little earlier, which may be less known within ISKCON, but actually very important. And we refer this as ISKCON's four movements. Small question here, who has read this essay on Gita Nagari? Anyone? Okay, who has heard about it? Okay, a few. Well, that's good. A few people have heard about it. This appeared in a Back to Godhead magazine in 1956, and the essence of the presentation was also in a letter in 1949. So the first of these four movements, Prabhupada coined as Sankirtan movement, which is connected with the spiritual dimension of dharma, spiritual swadharma. And by Sankirtan movement, in this context, Prabhupada refers to the holy name and books. And that's how he actually started his movement, as we know, in the West, in New York. The second is referred to as a temple worship movement. Once introducing the philosophy, naturally, some people will be attracted, so you need a place where people can come and where they can be introduced to Krishna on the altar, etc. The third movement, Srila Prabhupada coined as the spiritual initiation movement, whereby individuals are trained, are given an opportunity to become purified by taking up the process and becoming officially part of Krishna's family through the process of diksha or initiation. And the fourth movement Prabhupada spoke about is the classless society movement, which we can see the difference here. The first three are referring to the spiritual Svadharma, whereas classless society. Now, something important to understand, when Prabhupada speaks about classless society, he speaks about the four varnas and the four ashramas being all connected with the same activity, which is service to Krishna, which means the activity of bhakti or devotional service. And in a BTG, actually way back in 1956, Prabhupada wrote the following, that spiritual existence of devotional service and classless society are two identical terms. The one without the other has no meaning. They're a very important statement that we all need to meditate upon. Means if we have one without the other, it's not complete. Just like this body is only functioning because the spirit soul is there, isn't it? So we have a mixture of matter and spirit. We are living in this world, which is made up of matter and spirit. So therefore, this is... So just to give reference to this ideology of Swadharma, Prabhupada quotes actually from Bhagavad Gita, on the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Varnashrama Dharma. And Prabhupada's explanation, which is meant to be man's stepping stone to spiritual life or spiritual development, spiritual understanding. Human civilization begins from the stage of Varnashrama Dharma. Because Varnashrama Dharma, being material means it's connected with the modes of material nature, which is the situation for the vast majority of conditioned souls in the material world. Whereas the spiritual norm of Bhagavad Dharma, Prabhupada defines, real Swadharma is spiritual Swadharma, Jiver Swarubhoi Krishna Nitada. So that's on the level of the spirit soul, isn't it? The development of bhakti. And just a few words regarding the ministry that we have that I mentioned a little earlier. Ministry has a mandate that was given by the leadership here in India, and I think it's important to know what that mandate is, just in a few short paragraphs. To encourage the establishment in India of models of Krishna-conscious rural communities. And of course, those models are, the standard models are villages. Secondly, or part of that, to demonstrate in a practical way how the principles of varnas, aptitude-based occupations, and ashramas, phase lifelong spiritual emancipation, are universal and standard principles meant to be implemented. So in other words, the ministry is very much promoting the establishment and the understanding of varnas and ashramas. And then B, to demonstrate the principles of self-sufficiency, sustainability, and localized economy based on proper utilization of land and cows. Yeah. And it continues briefly here. To encourage, whenever possible in India, Varnashram-based rural development centered on land, cows, and Krishna. And last portion, in order to accomplish the above, to establish training programs, publish resource materials, organize conferences, etc. I was mentioning a little earlier the seventh aspect of the introduction or background is, this is of course a major topic, but I'm just giving a very brief overview because the ministry has taken this initiative about 4 years ago. It's called the Om Sri Surabhi campaign, and basically it's to bring awareness about some of the very fundamental concepts and principles that are connected with our Vedic culture. And we cannot speak about our Vedic culture unless we speak about society and how society is meant to be organized and what are some of the basic, fundamental, essential principles upon which the Vedic culture is meant to be built upon, you see. And of course, it comes back again, and we'll see a bit more in detail as we introduce various aspects of this presentation. So, there are two ministries in India, the one that we represent, IDVM, and also the Ministry for Cow Protection. Both of these ministries are working together to promote this Om Sri Surabhi campaign. We have, I believe, a pamphlet on that for those who might be interested. Now, why all of this, I mean, why this topic to begin with is important? Of course, for us as devotees, because it's an essential part of our philosophy, and our philosophy is not meant to be only philosophy. Our philosophy is meant to be put into practice, isn't it? So there is philosophy and practical application of that philosophy. Or there is jnanam, knowledge, and there is vijnanam, which is actually a higher level. It is vijnanam is realized knowledge. So we could say that the practical application of philosophy can only come if we actually realize and understand what is that, what is the meaning of that philosophy, what is the inner meaning or more profound meaning of our philosophy. To help us understand, I was mentioning how, you know, since the last 300 years, we, all over the world actually, we have witnessed a major deviation from what we understand, you know, from a Vedic perspective, what is meant to be the norm in society. And as a result, we have all kinds of destructive elements which have been introduced in these last 300 years. And we'll just look at some of these a little bit. I mean, there's a long list. We can refer to what is happening around the world or what the scholars refer to as modernism. You know, modern-day society is highly urbanized, highly industrialized, highly focused on material pursuits. You know, the slogan or the sutra in most countries is economic development for basically material well-being. And the result of this, naturally, again, from the Vedic perspective, is that the more people migrate to cities, they abandon, naturally, their land, they abandon the cows, they abandon their culture, they abandon their values. So the more we become disconnected with these basic values and these natural, more natural means of livelihood in terms of land, in terms of cows, in terms of villages, in terms of a more sattvic atmosphere, then we become polluted in so many different ways. In the Mahabharata, a grandfather, Bhishma Dev, identifies three very important areas that he presents as natural gifts of nature. And when these natural gifts of nature are not properly respected and honored, then it's a major deviation, which brings about all kinds of chaotic conditions. What are those three gifts of nature he mentions? The first one being cows, the second one being land, and the third being knowledge. And if it doesn't take much to understand how all of these three are very highly exploited all over the world and therefore causing so much of chaotic condition. So the end result is that it creates a very unsustainable, unhealthy situation, both in terms of our how we live materially, how we provide for our basic necessities of life, and naturally it affects our mental and our spiritual existence as well. Just to put things a little bit in perspective, a few of the statistics that sometimes we don't know or don't think about. Every year, according to different references, 150 billion animals are slaughtered. That's a lot. That's why we have groups like Animal Rights and others that are protesting, rightly so. And of course, this includes cows as well. Every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. Every year, approximately 1 million people die from suicide. That means one death every 40 seconds. In India, well, that's coming up here also. In India, as you know, every 30 minutes a farmer commits suicide. By the end of our presentation, four farmers will have committed suicide. These are the references. There is one website that is actually entitled The Killer Count. You can visit that website, and it has a minute-by-minute count of suicides, of killing of cows. It's a breakdown, you know. And it's naturally always increasing. And here's a statistic or finding, which is actually very scary in that we are, as we know from Bhagavatam, from our Vedic literatures, there are 8,400,000 different species, and we are one of those species. Well, every single day, because of what has been happening for the last 300 years, which means basically total mismanagement of our resources and how we live, daily there's between 150 to 200 different species becoming extinct on the planet. And many of these species naturally are connected with the human species in terms of our ability to exist. So this is ongoing. And there's a major problem in terms of people, because we're not eating properly, a major problem of obesity all over the world as well. Major problem in terms of depression. One of the more recent global problems is stress and mental disease that is there. So, this is just serving as background here. What is our mission? Important to understand. In the context of this Golden Jubilee, for example, which is a 12-year initiative, we want to bring awareness as to this, the basic principles of agrarian lifestyle. The more we understand as devotees that actually this is meant to be the norm in society, and of course there's a whole detailed explanation of how ideally this can be done, and this will be what we will be looking at as our seminars progress here. So this 12-year campaign is basically to promote a universal cow-based culture, because Vedic culture is primarily a cow-based culture, which is sustainable and which can actually bring harmony within society and is based on an actual sustainable economy, something we don't have in modern-day society. A few quotes from Srila Prabhupada to bring the point home a bit more. Therefore, the whole world is suffering so much sinful activities, primarily due to the sinful activity of cow killing, which Prabhupada coins as the greatest of sinful activities. And then in the next verse, or the next reference, rather, from the Light of the Bhagavat, the killing of cows is one of the grossest suicidal policies. We as a society, as an ISKCON society, need to be aware of what is actually taking place, and we should also be taking steps how to alleviate or address this problem. Therefore, in the next verse, Prabhupada mentioned how there is a need for a complete overhaul within society. And unless we understand how society is meant to be organized, then we will not be able to bring about this complete overhaul within society. And in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned how the primary purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to reintroduce Brahminical culture as well as Kshatriya culture, protecting Brahmanas as well as protecting cows. I'll go immediately to the second portion here in terms of what our acharyas, our different acharyas, in the context of sociology. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. This we mentioned already. This is an interesting statement coming up by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur from his Sajana Toshani, where he mentions that those who have sufficiently studied sociology certainly conclude that the system of Varnashram is the topmost social system. It's very important for us to understand how in the last couple of hundred years especially, well, we can go back even before that, people have introduced different kinds of social structures, isn't it? communism, socialism, now democracy, all of these are not grounded in actual knowledge. They are somebody's speculation. So therefore, they are constantly changing. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as also the Bhagavad Gita clearly explains, that real sociology, or the science of society, is within the system that is given in the Shastra. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions the following in a lecture that he gave in Calcutta, that the cult of so-called social reformers, because history sees constantly more and more social reformers, is quite different from that of devotees, naturally, because devotees base their knowledge on perfect knowledge, isn't it? Perfect knowledge means, because it is perfect, it is unchanging, isn't it? We chant the same mantra, we read the same books, and we don't get tired of reading these books because they are of a transcendental nature. And even when we speak about material subject matters, because our Vedic literature not only speaks about spiritual matters, but all the material subject matters in the Vedic literatures, because they're connected with Krishna, because they're performed for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, therefore they also become spiritualized or transcendental. And then our own Srila Prabhupada, there is no need to eradicate politics, economics, and sociology when we dovetail those in the service of Krishna, isn't it? Although in some instances, Prabhupada mentions about, we can say, mundane sociology, mundane history, or mundane whatever, that is useless. And it is, of course, because it's disconnected. Anything that is disconnected with Krishna. And the other quote in a conversation, sociology is already given by Krishna. This is perfect sociology. The same reference that we quoted before. And this verse that we mentioned, therefore society should revert to the Vedic principles based on Varna and Ashrama. So within our ISKCON society, as we mentioned earlier, we we are part of this larger society, and in order to affect positively and bring about important changes within this larger society, then these principles or Vedic principles of Varna and Ashrama need to be introduced. And then another important statement made by Srila Prabhupada, unless in human society the Varna Ashram system is introduced, no scheme or social order will be successful. There are so many references again and again emphasizing on the same point. So, what is our Vedic perspective in terms of society? This is just a brief summary of things that we touched upon a little bit. Veda is based on unchanging knowledge. Very important. Vedic knowledge is both scientific and eternal. Lord Krishna has created the Vedic social model. Vedic knowledge covers both spiritual and material sciences. And when we follow or apply the Vedic principles, then this will naturally bring about harmony within society. And, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a very, how many have studied or read this Dasamula Tattva? It's like essay on Gita Nagari. Dasamula Tattva is a small essay written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that very nicely describes the essence of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. That, of course, is a whole big topic in itself. We'll be covering some of that later on. Now I'm coming to the fourth aspect, which is actually introducing what I mentioned a little earlier about Charvidya. Charvidya, or Vedic sociology in four features. This is the core of what this seminar is about. Now I'm just giving this kind of like general background. The first of the four, well, I'll bring them up here. The first actually is Vedic philosophy. Just like I'm giving a general background now, Vedic philosophy is also giving a general background and giving some basic knowledge that will be helpful to understand the rest of what is coming, you know. The rest of what is coming, the second, in other words, Vedic philosophy is the first of the Charvidya. The second one is Vedic education, which is especially meant for the Brahmanas. Brahmanas will concentrate, focus on, and we'll go into details about these, of course. The third is Vedic politics, which is the science of the Kshatriyas. And the fourth, of course, is Vedic economics. These are actually the four essential and basic, fundamental, foundational sciences of our Vedic culture. And these actually are meant to be the topics that we learn or that we teach in our different educational systems. And of course, in a Vedic culture, the primary educational system, as we know, is Gurukula. And Prabhupada spoke also about Varnashram College, isn't it? Ken, in the same way that you put up this introduction, I think the other are also transferred there. Because, yeah, you can put up the second. This is where we are merging here. Which is the first of the four vidyas. And I think we can cover at least some portion of it this morning. And but before we do that, before we... Correct. Yes, that's the one. The science of philosophy is called Anvikshiki. But before beginning this presentation, we can take a few minutes for any possible questions or clarifications on our introduction, which basically was giving quite a wide background in terms of, you know, the context in which we're trying to understand Vedic sociology. Anyone? Yeah, there's a mic coming here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
It's very interesting, the whole thing. I would like to thank you very much for taking up this topic. We have not gone in for all these things before. So, what I mean is Swadharma, you said, material Swadharma. That is Varnashram Dharma, material Swadharma, you said.
Yes,
another
yes.
is Bhagavat Dharma.
Yes.
That is spiritual Swadharma.
Mm.
So, my question is that, like, ultimately for devotees, they should be concentrated more with Bhagavat Swadharma, or they should follow this.
Good question.
For initiated devotees or those who are going for initiation.
Yes. Prabhupada actually addressed this point by explaining as follows, that if we are like Haridas Thakur and can chant 22 hours a day, we don't have to worry about any of this. Or if we are like Lord Chaitanya and like 24 hours a day, totally absorbed in, you know, complete spiritual ecstasy, then we are all of these external things are secondary. Of course, even for those of us who are not on the level of Haridas Thakur or Lord Chaitanya, Varnashram remains secondary, but it is an essential secondary, in that, as Prabhupada wrote, this was one of the, part of the presentation, Prabhupada wrote in Back to Godhead quite some years back, that we cannot have one without the other. And there are so many statements to that effect. So, in one conversation, actually, one devotee, one senior devotee, was making this point, but Srila Prabhupada, I thought that Lord Chaitanya has come and introduced the Sankirtan movement. If we just chant the holy name, engage in devotional service, why do we have to bother about what seems to be somewhat complicated, you know, the varnas and the asramas and the social structure and this and that? We can just be, you know, devotees. We can just be Vaishnavas. You know, I thought this is what he was explaining. I thought we as Vaishnavas, we just need to practice. Then Prabhupada's response was that it is not so easy to be Vaishnava. Why are so many people deviating and falling from their vows at initiation? Therefore, Varnashrama is important. Therefore, Varnashrama needs to be instituted. Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada in one statement, explains that Lord Chaitanya, by taking sannyas, actually accepted Varnashrama, because that's one of the ashrams, right? Sannyas ashram. So, from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to our present founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, they have given a lot of importance to Varnashram. And it has been a gradual introduction. We were not there during the times of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he had to reintroduce the whole idea of Vaishnavism, and he requested his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to gradually introduce different aspects of the Varnashram system, beginning with Brahmanas, Brahminical culture, initiating Brahmanas. You see. And our own Srila Prabhupada has continued in this way and has given us, we could say, more detailed information by speaking about the whole discussion and conversation that Srila Prabhupada had in the context of Varnashram education, or Varnashram College, I'm sorry, Varnashram College. Very important. Very, very important. 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada spoke about this. And to this day, practically speaking, we have not implemented. And that is one of the major reasons why today, after 50 years, we're confused about Varnashram. We have not systematically introduced, as Prabhupada desired, in every single temple, every single project that we have, there should be a Varnashram college, where the Varnashram College is meant to gradually introduce individuals to the four Varnas. Varnashram College especially is to introduce not only about Varnas, but also Ashramas. But Prabhupada explained, first is Varna, then is Ashram. Now Prabhupada also mentioned that this Varnashram College is for the men, because that question was asked, whether Varnashram College is also open to women. And Prabhupada said, no. It is for men. Now, of course, this brings a question, what about education for the women? So, unless we understand some of the basic ideology that is mentioned in our Shastra, and how society is meant to be arranged, how families are meant to be established, etc., then we won't so easily understand the role and responsibilities of various individuals within society. We have been brought up to a large extent, isn't it? Because we're all, you know, we've all been born less than 100 years ago, I believe, you know, those who are here in the room. So, You know, within the whole 20th century is full of deviations that continues in the 21st century. We have an increasing condition of Varna Sankara. And we have introduced all kinds of ideologies which are totally different from, and many of them against, the Vedic basic principles of what human life, what civilized life is meant to be, isn't it? So therefore, one of the quotes we referred to by Srila Prabhupada is that civilized human beings or civilization begins by introducing this system, by following the system of Varna Nashrama. And actually, practically speaking, this will not be possible to understand, and neither will it be possible to apply unless we become convinced that Vedic culture is primarily an agrarian, cow-based culture. This is so important, so vital. Vedic culture without land and cows, without individuals' connection with cows and land, is not Vedic culture, cannot be Vedic culture. Vedic culture is a culture that Krishna has given us in Vrindavan. And that culture is meant to meet all of our basic needs and necessities of life. So therefore, even though we are, you know, practicing devotees, even though we are giving especially focus on bhakti, devotional service, if we don't understand this dimension, not only if we don't understand it, of course, the more we misunderstand it, obviously we cannot put it into practice. So first, there's a need. That's why we are speaking about it. That's why we're having these seminars. That's why we have this ministry here in India to gradually bring awareness as to this particular dimension. We could say the unfulfilled mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is a statement made by Srila Prabhupada. There's a whole context in that respect. Some of you, anyway, I can just repeat it. It's very short. In the last days, when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, one of the devotees, possibly Brahmananda, Maharaj at the time, was asking Srila Prabhupada, do you have any regrets? Is there something maybe that, you know, that you're regretting? And then Prabhupada said, no. Then after a few moments, Prabhupada replied, actually, there is something. And then the devotee, oh, is it that you were not able to complete the translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada replied, no. My regret or my lamentation is that actually I've not been able to introduce what remains to be 50% of my mission, establishing Varnasrama. So this remains, we could say, a standing order given to us by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, and there is a need for every single individual within our society to come to grips with what that actually means. Of course, it's primarily the responsibility of our leaders within the society. Some things have been addressed, but to a large extent, and our leaders will also admit that it is, even to this day, I mean, just a direct quote from one of our leaders, just maybe a year back or so, it is not seen as a priority for the movement, unfortunately. Anyways, we will see as we go along, but hopefully that addresses your question a little bit. Yeah. Any other before we move on? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Guruji, Maharaj, this Varnashrama system is based on land and cows.
Based on?
Land and cows.
Yes.
So how the devotees in the city can, because it's difficult for them to practice it in cities.
I can just share one of many quotes given by Srila Prabhupada, that modern day civilization, which is primarily in urban areas, in cities, is a doomed civilization. Prabhupada's direct quote, Prabhupada also stated that modern-day society, as we know it, will soon come to an end. So therefore, those who are living in the cities, which is the majority of our devotees, they need to hear these statements from Srila Prabhupada. And they need to start discussing about the very precarious condition and situation in which we find ourselves. Because majority of our householders who are living in the cities around the world, in many ways are, of course, anyone in the material world who's trying to practice Krishna consciousness, we're at a disadvantage because it's not the ideal place. You know, I mean, the spiritual world is where there are no hindrances, or Maya is not there, right? But we are living surrounded by Maya. But Maya has become even more prominent in this whole development of materialism and atheism, etc. Therefore, Prabhupada, he wanted that unless we are living in the cities, engaged in active preaching, we should not be living in the cities. If we know that the cities are going to crumble, and one doesn't have to be a PhD to understand that, or a big scientist. One doesn't have to be, you know, a spiritual person also. There are so many studies, and so many talks, and so many interviews, and so many statements, more and more, as we live in this first phase of the 21st century. You know, there is a lot of discussion amongst many, I would say, you know, learned persons who have studied history, who know what is taking place in the world today in terms of a few things I mentioned. You know, 150 to 200 different species are becoming extinct every day. Our whole system of natural habitat, which is being destroyed under our very eyes, our inability more and more all over the world in being able to produce healthy food, you know, to sustain ourselves. There is a major discussion about what is called the impending human or mass human extinction. History has shown, and there are, you can study about this, history has shown that up to now there have been 5 major mass human extinction in society, and that we are on the verge of the 6th one. So being a devotee doesn't mean only thinking about and dealing with Krishna's spiritual energy. Because Krishna's material energy is Krishna's material energy. And we should also be concerned about how it is being utilized, how it is being mutilated in so many ways, how it is being exploited, isn't it? We mentioned that the main three, as spoken and explained by Bhishmadev, the three natural gifts of nature, cows, beginning with cows. He begins by mentioning cows, land, because there's an intimate, very intimate, close connection. We have broken this connection. We have broken this natural relationship between cows and land in since the last century. And we have also and we continue to misuse very badly knowledge. Isn't it? That's why Prabhupada spoke about modern education as being no better than slaughterhouse, where we are not giving an opportunity to young people to know about what is actual knowledge, what is actual purpose of life, isn't it? Misleading. Therefore, you ask a very pertinent question, of course. You know, what are we supposed to do? Well, we should become conscious. Krishna consciousness is not only being conscious of Krishna. Krishna consciousness also means being conscious of everything that is related to Krishna. The cows are especially very dear to Krishna. The more we understand what is taking place and what we could be doing and what we should be doing, then Krishna will give us, isn't it, the dhami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite, those who actually surrender unto me, I give them the intelligence by which they can understand how to address whatever issues are there. So there's a need for our city folks, our city devotees, to know about what Prabhupada addresses and speaks about, and to actually be concerned about this whole dimension of what's going on in this world and how we as a society, you know, because that's one of our responsibilities. Not only we should be, like right now, one of our main, we could say, programs within our ministry, and that's one of the reasons, the primary reason I'm here actually in Pune area, is this village outreach program that we call Dharma Go Gram Yatra. Dharma Go Gram Yatra. And we emphasize in each of these programs, because we end up the programs by having like an evening satsanga program with the village people. And we speak about two things. We speak about what we refer to as what is everyone's spiritual swadharma, isn't it? Means chanting the holy name, practicing bhakti, etc. And also, we very intentionally, and that's part of the reason we are doing this program, this outreach in the villages, we speak about what is meant to be our material swadharma. And we speak naturally about cows and about land, because especially we are in the village. And we know how, unfortunately, village people have been badly misguided, misdirected. And everyone, as we know, is using pesticides. And, you know, in some villages now, you cannot even find a bull. Not even one bull. So that means that within no time, whatever cows may be there will no longer be there. Right? So this is a sign of the end of villages. When cows are no longer there, that means that villages also will no longer be there. And when villages will no longer be there, you and whoever is living in the city, myself included, if I'm in the city, we also will no longer be there, because we can't live without food. And food comes from the land. And the land cannot properly be maintained or protected, and that's coming up later on, without this direct, close, intimate connection with the cows. Something that we, again, you know, so we've transgressed, we have diverted, we've gone astray on all fronts. And therefore, it is part of our responsibility as devotees to know how we have deviated. With your kind permission, because we have, if this clock is correct, it's close to 12 o'clock, right? We have till 12:30, isn't it? So normally we keep the last portion for questions, but we did it a little early. So unless there's if there's no other question, I can begin this second portion, which is actually the first of the four vidyas, which is, kind of disappeared here. Yeah, Anvikshiki, or the science of philosophy. And keep in mind as we go, hopefully, we invite you to follow these four